Hello, hello. Welcome on the show. This is the second episode of my podcast about cryptocurrencies and different concepts that exist in this this new universe. And in the previous episode, we talked about databases and banks and distributed systems. It was very brief, only 20 minutes, and I didn't really get into cryptocurrencies. And so today I'm going to try to keep the format short, 20 minutes as well, and maybe get a bit into how cryptocurrencies work under the box. And I think it makes sense to start with Bitcoin, as it was the very first example of a cryptocurrency that actually worked. I guess let's see how it goes and let's see how far we can go in 20 minutes. So Bitcoin was, published as a white paper on the internet. And the author was Satoshi Nakamoto, and nobody really knows who that is. Maybe it's one person, maybe it's a set of persons. They basically published that paper anonymously. And in that paper, it's a very short paper. I encourage you to try and read it if you want, if you're interested. And in that paper, they sort of like laid out the foundation of what their cryptocurrency would look like. Bitcoin also came with a C++ client. So a daemon or a client or like some software that you have to run on your computer. And the idea is that everybody can run that software on their computer. And basically that's the way you use the cryptocurrency or let's say blockchain. A lot of people say blockchain as well to mean cryptocurrency. It doesn't really matter. But that's how you use that bank, right? That central bank that everybody can connect to and get a bank account from and use it to send money, etc. So that was kind of the idea. You download this thing and basically it will try and connect to other clients that other people are running, and they will tell you who else you can connect to, and you'll sort of like connect to different people in the network the longer you run that tool on your computer. And what the tool did is that it downloaded the entire history of all the transactions that have happened since the beginning of the launch of Bitcoin. We said the genesis of Bitcoin. And you're going through all of these transactions and you're sort of building this database on your computer of the world. And when I say the world, I mean really the who has how much Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is the currency that they use. So it's not dollars, it's not euro, whatever, it's just Bitcoin. And basically everybody's doing that. Everybody has a copy of that database at the end of the day. And that's just looking at the database, right? I haven't talked about owning your own account yet. But you can see all the transactions, and because you can see all the transactions that have happened in the network, you can also see who has who owns how many Bitcoins. So that's interesting. There's a lot to unpack here, but that's the first point. Everybody's running it, you can run it, and you'll get access to this very transparent database. You can see everything, there's no secret. Now, to kind of explain how you can create an account there and have, you know, something like a bank account, I have to explain the notion of a public key in cryptography. So I don't want to get too much into the details of cryptography in this podcast. Basic building blocks like that, are really actually very big building blocks, and you can like open the box and there's a lot to see inside of it. So let's try and see it as a black box and let's see what it's doing. So in cryptography you have this thing called a signature, and it's basically emulating a signature in the real world. So you know when you go in and you want to like sign a check to someone, you'll take a check and you'll write your signature, and maybe your bank will like verify that this is your signature and they will authenticate you or authenticate the veracity of the check based on your signature and maybe some other elements, but you need to sign that check. And in the real world it's not very secure, like someone can sort of like imitate your signature, and it's not great, right? But in cryptography nobody can imitate your signature, because to sign something, you need a private key, and only you have the private key. So in Bitcoin, if you want to create an account, what you will do is that you will generate a private key. That's basically it's a big number, so big that nobody can try and like figure it out. And that's something that you should never give to anyone else, but using it in some tool, you can sign things. Sort of like signing a check in real life with a pen and the knowledge of how your signature looks like. Here you're just using that private number, that secret number, to sign something else. From that private key, you can generate or derive something else called a public key. So a public key doesn't really have a good analogy in the real world. I guess that's why signatures in the real world are so insecure. It's because you only have like one thing, whereas a signature in cryptography is sort of this asymmetrical thing with like, it's like a coin with like two faces, I guess. On one side, you have the private key that you can use to sign, and on the other side, you have this public key that you can use to verify a signature. So to go back to the analogy, imagine that if you had that in the real world, you could use your private key to like sign on a check, and nobody else would be able to imitate your signature without knowledge of that big number. And to verify your signature on your check, a bank would actually check in their database and they would find the public key associated to you and your account, and they would use that to verify your signature. They wouldn't like compare it to like previous signatures that they've seen on your checks in the past. They would actually use that public key that you gave them and that you generated from your private key. Hopefully that makes sense. You might not know that, but I have a book on cryptography called Real World Cryptography, and I go more in depth about signatures there. And so if you want to learn more about signatures, you can check the book. So in Bitcoin, if you want to create an account, that's what you do. You generate a private key, and you can sign your transactions with that private key. If you want to send money to someone, you'll pretty much like, you know, write something. It's in software, you know, but you're basically writing this information somewhere. You're saying, I want to send some money to some public key. And you're not saying like a name, right? You're just saying a public key. So an account is really a public key. That's how you differentiate two different accounts. Kind of like a routing number or like an account number like for a bank. And this public key is like another number. And so you can sign this. And so what people will see is that the information of the transaction, so everything's in clear, they can read it. They can see that you want to send some amount of Bitcoin to like some address. And they will also see a signature that will be attached to it that they can verify. Now, there's two things to unpack here. It's like, what do you do when you sign a transaction, right? Like if you have a check in real life, you deposit that check at a branch of your bank. But what do you do with Bitcoin, right? In this weird system. And the second question is, what if you don't have money to begin with? How do you get money? I'm going to answer that question first in a very easy way. It's like kind of like a bank account. You'll have to wait for someone to send you money. That's the easy answer. You cannot, there are ways to get money that I will explain later, but you can think of it as like a normal bank. You cannot have money until someone sends you money. The first question was, what do you do with a check, or what do you do with like this transaction that you sign if you want to send money to someone? Basically, you send it to the network. So remember I said that you have this Bitcoin client that you're running on your computer, and that's connected to different peers in the network, other people like you who are running the software on their computer. Basically, you give your software, you give your client this transaction, and we'll send it to all the other people you're connected with. And these people will send it to others, and they will sort of propagate and forward your transaction to the network. And so more and more people will have it. So that's sort of with what I've explained so far. You should understand that you're running that client, you're downloading all of the history of the blockchain, right? The cryptocurrency, and you're observing all of these transactions that have been processed by this bank, this Bitcoin bank. You can see all of the values, all of the amount of Bitcoins that other people have, and when I say other people, I say public coins. Right, so different public coins will have different Bitcoins associated with their public key. And you can yourself generate a public key, ask someone to send you money, and then you can sign transactions to send money or Bitcoin to other people by just forwarding your transaction to other people that you're connected to. Okay, that's the recap. The second part I need to explain is how, and I'm going to answer two questions at the same time, I guess. The first question I'm going to answer is, Where did the first money come from? Where did the first Bitcoins come from? So I said you need to receive it, but if nobody has Bitcoin, then nobody can send it to you. So where did that come from? And the second question I'll answer is when you send your transaction to the network, right? You're sending it to other people in the network, like you. It still doesn't tell you anything about how does it really get processed by the system, right? Like when you deposit your check at the bank, that's not the end of it. Like there's some guy who like looks at it and enter it in the system and does some change in the database, right? So who's doing the change in the database? That's the second question I'll answer. And so the answer to both of these questions is miners. So you might have heard of this concept of miners, which is, the analogy here is really that you have to imagine some miners mining, trying to mine gold with their pickaxe. And so Bitcoin has the same sort of concepts where some people are running a different software. And what they're doing is that they're trying to find Bitcoins. And so they're doing this work, they're doing this continuous work to try and find Bitcoins. And that's how Bitcoins are created. The first Bitcoins were created by miners in this process of mining Bitcoins. And actually, these miners are still mining Bitcoin even to this day. And every 10 minutes, you get new Bitcoins being created. There's like a cap to all the Bitcoins that can be created. This cap is 21 million, I believe. And after 21 million, miners won't be able to mine new Bitcoins anymore. So what do these miners do besides mining new Bitcoins? They also process transactions. So when I want to send money to someone in Bitcoin, when I want to send some Bitcoin to you, for example, and I'm signing that transaction and sending it to the network and forwarding it to people, eventually, you know, people will pass that transaction, that signed transaction to other people and other people and other people. And eventually this will reach a miner or several miners. And when a miner successfully mines something, it will process that transaction. So that's sort of the high level idea of how the protocol works and actually process transactions like a bank. They use this miners system. All right, so I'm already 15 minutes into this second episode. I want to limit myself to 20 minutes, so I have 5 more minutes. So I can't explain to you really what miners are doing just yet. I guess I'll use the third episode for that. I really want to like set the intuitions here before I go more, deeper technically. So before I get into the miner part, I want to go back to like fundamentally what is a cryptocurrency or what is a blockchain? And no, I'm going to define the term blockchain. And even though we always use the term blockchain to mean cryptocurrency, the term blockchain came from somewhere. And it actually came from the idea that a blockchain can be a chain of blocks. So even before I talk about a chain of blocks, I'm going to talk about the idea of a ledger. So way before banks used databases and computers, they were actually using books, like these big books of transactions and transfer of money. These books are called ledgers, and that's why if you look at cryptocurrencies lingo, you see the word ledger pretty often. And so you can imagine that essentially, if you don't have a database and you want to have a bank, you'd open this big ledger, this big book, and you'd start on the first page and you'd say, okay, David has 3 Bitcoin, and that would be the first line that you write. And maybe you'll start with that. And then you'll turn the page and you'll be like, okay, I have a new page now and I'm going to use that page to process some transactions. I'm going to say, David sends 5 Bitcoin. So now he has, you can try and calculate that. No, David has 5 Bitcoin left because he had 10 Bitcoin in the beginning. He's sending 5 Bitcoin to you, for example. And so I'm not really writing how much Bitcoin everybody has. I'm actually just writing the transactions. And this is what Bitcoin does, by the way. I'm just writing, at this time of this day, on this page, I sent 5 Bitcoin to you. And then maybe you send your 5 Bitcoin to someone else. And so now we have me and that someone else who are the only people who own Bitcoins, but we have 3 different transactions. 2 different transactions. Me sending money to you and you sending money to that third person. And so a blockchain is kind of the same idea. Like instead of a ledger, you have, listing transactions on paper, you have blocks, or instead of ledger with pages, you have blocks that list transactions. And these blocks are linked in the same way that a ledger has all of these pages binded together. So when miners mine, Bitcoins, what they really do is that they pretty much create a new page in that ledger and add all the transactions that they've received. For example, I've sent a transaction to the network, it reached a miner. When that miner mines something, it adds the transaction to a new block or a new page and writes it in that book. And so I guess I'm going to stop here. And in the next episode, I'll explain the actual technicalities of what a miner really does. But that's how miners work. That's what they do. They just figure out that's their work. By their entire work is to create a new page in the ledger and to add the transactions they've seen there and to share that page with everybody else so that everybody else can see it. Okay, that's enough for now. You probably have a lot of different questions, and I'll try to answer them in the third episode that I'll release next. All right. Again, if you have questions, if some things were not clear, don't hesitate to ask me on Twitter. You can reach out to me at CryptoDavidW. And I'll see you in the next episode.